So this week we are on the theme of encouragement. Encourage one another. Great theme. So I want to ask you to have a chat with one another. Who is your great encourager? Who is your cheerleader? The person in your life who's like, you can do this, come on. Who is that person? Have a little chat or have a think. I will be asking for feedback, so be prepared. Okay, anyone feeling bold and willing to give me a little shout out to your encouragers? Christy, well done. Good job, Christy. Anyone else? Who's your encourager? Kasra. Yes, we love Kasra. Anyone else? You could be generic. It could be a friend, or it could be a neighbour, or any other great encouragers in our lives. Yeah, the people, we're going to be celebrating you later. You're going to encourage us all, no pressure. It's so important in life to have a cheerleader, isn't it? Somebody who says, oh, you did a great job. Somebody who, even when you did a bad job, goes, hey, you can do this. You know, to have those people in your life who go, come on. When we're facing something difficult, go, don't worry about it, we can do this. Those people who go, you are marvellous, who acknowledge what you do, but also see who you are and say, yes, you're wonderful, you're marvellous.
You're describing yourself.
I know! It's really important, isn't it? You know, I wonder if you've ever had that experience where you have been with somebody and perhaps you turned up and you were feeling a bit rubbish. A bit like, oh, you know, struggling, life's hard. And you walked away feeling like peacocking, as I call it, a bit like, yes, I can do life. Those people are precious. And that is our calling, friends. Rowan Williams, I tried to look for this quote and I couldn't find it. But anyway, he said somewhere, something brilliant about holiness that I've never forgotten. He said, holiness is the experience of feeling more able to be more fully yourself. So if you imagine, when you spend time with Jesus, hopefully, if you really encounter the presence of Jesus, you don't feel smaller. Well, you might feel smaller in the sense of, you know, when you stand and look at the sky and you're like, whoa, I'm so little in this world. But you don't feel diminished. You don't feel rubbish. You feel more capable of being yourself, loved, cherished, able, all of these things. When you feel that, you're in the presence of holiness. And we need to do this for one another, right? Be holy people for one another that make us feel more able to be ourselves in the world. Throughout this series, hopefully it's been inspiring and challenging, possibly in equal measure. We've been reflecting on what it is to be a disciple of Christ. And there will probably have been weeks when you're like, got this, thrilled, can do this. And other weeks when we think, wow, I've got a long way to go. If you've been doing some of the deep work, you might have hit patches in your life where you think, oh, it's really hard to be a disciple because I feel like I'm following the path, but there's this big thing in my life that I'm struggling with. It's not easy to be a Christian. We're going to be welcoming two new guys into the family of God later, and I wish I could say to you both, from this point onwards, no problems. However, that would be a lie, wouldn't it, my friends? In fact, I think sometimes being a Christian can be particularly hard because when tough stuff happens, we've got more questions to wrestle with. You know, if there was no God, we'd just go, life is unfair sometimes. When we've got a God who is all loving and all knowing and all powerful, when we hit tough stuff, a whole load of questions come, possibly doubts and struggles. It is not easy to be a Christian. We are called to love the very unlovely, in our opinion. That's part of being a Christian. It's not easy. We're called to serve when we'd really rather not. It's not easy. It is not easy to be a Christian. But my word, friends, isn't it glorious? To know the love of Jesus in the world, through the Holy Spirit, in one another, it is a beautiful life. And we want to encourage people on this journey. Not just those at the beginning, but all of us. We want to say, when it's tough, let's keep going. We want to be people who keep saying, let's keep running the race that is before us because it is worth it, because it is wonderful, even though it's hard at times. And the Lord has blessed us with one another to keep us going, even when that feels really difficult. I want this journey for myself. I want to come to the end of my life and walk with joy in an absolute confidence into the life that is to come. I want to look back on my life and say, as much as I could, despite my faults and failings, I shone as a light in the world for Jesus. And I want that for all of us. Isn't that the dream? That at the end we go, I have a life that I loved. I was loved by people and I loved them. And I'm walking into the love of the Lord. And if we want this to happen, if we want to live a life in Christ, as the scripture says, therefore encourage one another and build up each other. We cannot encourage each other too much. There's a whole thing about babies now, that you can't cuddle or spoil a baby. So there's potentially previous generations, there's been some thinking that said, you've got to be careful, you don't cuddle a baby too much, because if you cuddle them, they'll never let go of you. But more contemporary understanding says, you cuddle your baby as much as you want. Like, you can't spoil them. You can't spoil a baby. We cannot encourage one another enough. We're not going to diminish standards by celebrating what one another are up to, by telling each other what God is doing. It is such a good thing to pour out encouragement, lavish it on one another. And our passage tells us to do this generically. Therefore, encourage one another. Everybody, encourage each other. But it also goes with some specific people that are then mentioned. Those who labour amongst you and have charge over you. Who serves the community of faith here? We all do in various ways, but how can we encourage those who are perhaps preaching, leading, music, even those that are not necessarily in the upfront roles? Leslie. How do we encourage Leslie? We might not see what she's doing right now, but we're going to see a whole load of kids coming out at the end with very happy faces. We see the beauty of their relationship with each other. How can we encourage Leslie? How can we encourage one another? Do we do it enough? Can we be richer and bolder in that? Sometimes we can feel a bit awkward about it. I don't know where you land on this. Some people find receiving encouragement very uncomfortable. You offer a word and say, oh, that was brilliant. And they go, oh, no, no. And we can just feel really awkward. There's something quite vulnerable about it. But we can also feel really uncomfortable giving it. I wonder where you stand on that. And look beyond the church walls. This isn't just about the people who serve you in this building. Who serves you in your life? Do you encourage your boss? Do you encourage your kids' teachers? Do you, when you see your MP doing something fantastic, do you write a letter to encourage them? Do we encourage, when you have a medical appointment, do you speak a word of encouragement over somebody who's taking care of you? You can't encourage enough. Be bold and lavish with it. And we're also told to encourage the faint-hearted. I think this is so critically important, particularly in the community of faith. One of the things I love about the community of faith is we're told to run the race that is set before you, but we don't run it alone. And I think of it a bit like a park run, where it's not about winning, it's about everybody getting over the line. And at a park run, there's somebody who walks with the slowest, they walk at the back deliberately, that is their role, that nobody gets left behind. That is our race. Because let's be honest, there are times when we get weary and we get tired and we might have been sprinting at the beginning, but now we are trailing. There's somebody to walk with you. Encourage the faint-hearted. There are times in our lives when we can't hear God's voice, we can't see what God is up to, we think that we are rubbish, perhaps we're terrible Christians, we have doubts and we have questions, and at that point it's so easy to decide, instead of finishing the race, to get the car keys, get in the car and go home. Encourage one another. Perhaps you feel a particular calling to be that walker at the end who says, I am willing to walk the slowest race with these people to keep them going. And the thing about encouragement is it's got to be real. and this can be where it's quite difficult, is to offer a word of encouragement. We've probably all at some times received a word where someone's been really kind to us, but there's been an agenda, or where it hasn't felt genuine, or somebody's kind of pacifying you. Surely, as we look around our church, as I look at you now, I see a multitude of gifts, of beautiful people. There is so much to encourage. We don't need to offer platitudes, because there is real, genuine love and affirmation we can offer. And as always in this series, that needs to start with our relationship with God. And I wonder if this week might get to the core of some of our images of God. When you think about God, do you think of a loving Father who is lavishing encouragement on you, saying, "You are the light of the world. I created you. I knit you together in your mother's womb. I love you. I came that you might know me." Is that the God that you know? Or is the God that you know perhaps one where you're nervous about approaching, kind of Oliver Twist like, "Please, sir, can I have some more?" We need to start with our relationship with God, the God who lavishes encouragement on us. I tell you now, I am like this huge vat who needs constant encouragement. That's the way I'm built. I love it. It really helps me. And there are days when, more days than I would like to acknowledge really, where I say to the Lord, I need some encouragement today. And every time I pray that prayer, the Lord provides somebody or something. It might not be a word from somebody. It might be I see God in action. Do you know that God wants to encourage you? God delights that you are on this path of discipleship. God does not want you to be the one who packs it in and gets your car keys. God will encourage you. Do we believe in the God who does that? And what are the patterns, if you look back over your life, what are the patterns of the way God has encouraged you? Are there specific words that perhaps you need to reclaim and hold on to? What has God said to you? And do that deep inner work, as every single week, are you able to receive encouragement? We can have many of us are built, aren't we, that when it comes to an unkind word or a "that wasn't very good," that goes deep, doesn't it? And we hold on to that. You know, I hear people who say, "I can't sing because 60 years ago a teacher told me that I wasn't very good." You know, we hold on to those things. Do we hold on to the good stuff? It's really easy, isn't it, that you do something and 10 people say, "Oh, amazing, you're so blessed, you're so wonderful, thank you, God really spoke through you today." And one person goes, "Not a fan." And you can hold on to that. Are you able to hold on to these delightful things that God does to encourage you? Do you know yourself to be loved? I will ask you this every week. Do you know that you are loved? Do you know that you are gifted, that you are blessed, that you are treasured? And have a think about how you feel about encouraging others. What's your style? If you feel a bit awkward going up to somebody and going, "Great job," could you write them a card? Could you send a note? How can you encourage somebody if that's perhaps not your natural mode? And as we look out towards others, how can we encourage? There's so many ways, and this is not an exhaustive list, so feel free to add any others in discussion later. Number one, testify to what God has done. Doesn't it encourage us, friends, when we see that God is at work and has done something? We're going to be able to do that soon. We're going to hear and see a testimony of people's lives changed by Jesus. Testify to what God has done. Be honest, be real, and nothing is too small. We don't have to wait for a shocking miracle. We can say, "Oh," like, I'll give you an example. I prayed before I went on holiday, a ludicrous prayer. I prayed, "Lord, it is October, but I would really love just one more time, one little break in Wales in a t-shirt on the beach. It's October." It's a ludicrous prayer. I mentioned it to other people and they thought I was being ridiculous. Every day, friends, every single day, sunshine, it was warm. And I want to tell you that because it might not be a miracle in the sense of, you know, somebody being healed, But it filled my soul because I remembered that God cares about the fact that I love the beach in the sunshine in October as much as all the other things. Nothing is too small, so be honest. Sincerely tell one another how you see the Holy Spirit at work. If you see the Spirit moving in somebody, doing something, stirring a gift, tell them. Value one another. Whatever way that works for you, you might be somebody who offers a gift as a sign of I love you and that's a real encouragement, or does something to help. Find a way of showing value to one another. Say when you see somebody walking in obedience with God, be thankful for what you see people doing or how they are, what it is about them. Tell them. For years now, I've kept a scrapbook of everything that reminds me of God at work, everything that encourages me. And it is one of the most valuable things. It's like the, if the house was on fire, it's the possession I'd go and grab. Because it reminds me over and over again that God is faithful and God loves me. If any of you ever send me a card saying thanks or we love you or anything like that, it goes, it gets stuck in the scrapbook and I will keep it forever because they are so precious. Is there a way that you can do that for yourselves and be lavish with other people? And level up on encouragement through the tough times. It can be easy when things are difficult to get into the grumbling that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. How can we instead redirect our energy to go, times are hard, but we love one another. God is good. How can we encourage each other? And we're going to be encouraged very soon. I think a quick change is required. And I